This weekend, the Suwannee Summer Music Festival returns. The four-week program at the University of the South in Suwannee is one of the top training festivals in the country for advanced students in orchestral and chamber music. As a few students from last year's festival can tell you,
it's great to perform with a lot of people, have great conductors, have great teachers to give me lessons and master classes.
I think it put a really good cap on the school year that I've had, and it's really brought to light all the changes I've made as a musician, and a lot of that thanks to Suwannee Summer Music Festival.
This year's festival begins on Saturday, and John Kilkenny is the artistic director. John, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me here.
So, for people who are not familiar with the Suwannee Summer Music Festival, tell us about it.
So, for over 60 years, the University of the South has hosted the Suwannee Summer Music, used to be the Suwannee Summer Music Center, and it was really the vision of one of their leaders, the vice chancellor at the time in the late 50s, early 60s, envisioned a music festival that would attract students from all over the world. And he tapped Martha McCrory, who led the music festival for 42 years. Martha just recently passed, and part of what we're going to do this summer is celebrate Martha's legacy and the work that she did to build Suwannee into this world-class orchestral training program. So we now are, this year, have 230 students joining us at Suwannee this summer. That's up from 184 last year. I think it's the highest number of students we've ever had, largest festival we've ever had, which is fitting because we're celebrating Martha this year that we've grown to this point. We have two orchestras. We have a composition program. We have a piano program. And we're adding additional academy programs this summer as well, which are shorter pre-college programs for younger students that sort of want to have a taste of the festival experience but can't give their entire 4 weeks of their summer over to being at Suwannee.
And you're packing in a semester's worth within 4 weeks. How do you do that?
Very carefully. We have a great team. And the first part of any program like this is that you have to have an incredible support staff. And we do have a great team. Our managing director, Hillary Dow Ward, and all of our seasonal staff that come in, arriving today and in the next few days, to help make all of this work. And we pretty much pack students into every nook and cranny on campus that we can do chamber music coachings or private lessons. You'll see kids in the chapel rehearsing. You'll see students in sectionals in the basement of a ballroom. I mean, wherever we could find space, we're putting music on the campus. And because of our expansion this year, we are really using every space we can. We're also doing some of our performances on the campus of St. Andrews Suwannee School, which is the prep school about a mile away from us. We're really looking forward to building that partnership with them. St. Andrews is a beautiful campus and a great venue. It's actually McCrory Hall is their performing arts venue named for Martha McCrory. So we're doing two of our faculty concerts and one of our family concerts there. So yeah, it's tricky, but we make it work. And the students are busy. They go from morning until night. There's lessons and orchestra rehearsals and chamber music rehearsals and seminars with our guest conductors and with our faculty. We talk about college audition preparation for our pre-college students. We talk about career development, resume writing, networking, grant writing for some of our older students who are at the cusp of their professional careers. We also have an orchestral festival fellowship program. So our festival fellows are sort of pre-professional musicians who are here at Suwannee on a full scholarship. And part of their responsibilities are performing with our faculty. So there's faculty-student collaboration. They also will help out in coaching some of the younger students, serving as mentors for some of our younger participants, doing some select outreach performances as well.
Yeah, I was about to ask the age range, and you were saying from pre-college to pre-professional.
Yeah, it's a big range, and some of that is intentional, and some of that is based on the needs that we have in any particular summer. So our youngest participant this year is 12, which was an interesting discussion, but we talked about it as a team and also spoke at length with students' family, and we're actually really excited to have him in our program. We have a group of about a half a dozen students that are in that 12, 13 age range. And then our oldest students, mostly some of our international students, because their academic structure is a little different, will be 26, 27 years old in that range. Those age ranges will exist in the same place, but not interact all that often because of the different orchestras that they're in and the different chamber experiences that they're in.
I would imagine that this has to be a highly competitive, highly selective process. How do these students get there?
It is. It's a great question. So we do video auditions for all of our students. They go through an audition process. They submit orchestral excerpts and solos that they record, and then our faculty evaluate those and rank them and recommend admission or wait list or recommend that they re-audition. Ultimately, I am tasked with making the final decisions as the director as to who is admitted and scholarship amounts, but I lean very heavily on the recommendations of our faculty, and they're the experts in their respective areas. So it is a competitive process. Something I'm really proud of, though, is we have a matriculation rate that is higher than average. So the students that are applying to SWANI really want to come to SWANI. They really want to be a part of what we're doing, and that's something I'm very, very proud of.
And we should tell the audience, remind the audience about the setting for this.
Yes. So the University of the South is, and I'm biased because I work there, but is one of the most beautiful campuses in the world. And it sits on top of the Cumberland Plateau, and the whole campus is a 13,000-acre domain, is what they call it, the domain of the University of the South. And it's everything from sort of rainforest climate to hiking, and it's hard to describe unless you're there. Imagine Oxford, but here in Tennessee. That's actually one of its sister campuses. The students call it Hogwarts when they're walking around, and which, not being, and this might be a terrible thing to say on the radio, but not being someone that's terribly familiar with Harry Potter, I take their word for it, but they walk around and they say, oh my gosh, this is just out of the books and out of the movies.
I don't think they'll cast a spell on you if you got anything wrong.
Okay, good. Well, I take their word for it. Every building on the campus either has to be a castle or a church because of the traditions of the institution. So even the brand new buildings that are built in the last few years, the new dining hall, new residence halls, all have to have that look. So it's an incredible campus. It's a safe, beautiful place to spend the summer. The festival is supported by, not just by the university, but by really an outstanding group of folks in the community who love the music festival, who come to our concerts, who support our students, who provide critical scholarship support for our students to be there. So it's a really great place to spend part of your summer.
What a setting to live and learn and perform better.
It is. And it's, I think it inspires the students I know, and I don't think I know it inspires our students and inspires our faculty. The caliber of faculty we have at the music festival are such that they could teach elsewhere. There are other places that would want to have our faculty there. And I think the combination of our history, our location, and the community that we've built there really lends itself to wanting to be a part of this. And it is an inspiration for our guest conductors who come back year after year, and our faculty who are with us in some cases for more than 10 years.
And where do the students who participate in this festival, where do they go? Where have they ended up?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question and a great question. We are right now beginning to really, for the first time in a comprehensive way, attempt to answer that question other than answering it anecdotally to say like, oh, well, they play in orchestras and they teach at universities and they teach in the public schools and they have studios, which is all true. Also, many of them over 60 years have gone on to tremendously successful careers outside of the performing arts, but remain passionate supporters of the arts. But we have not done a comprehensive study, and we're actually embarking on that this year, starting right around now. Martha McCrory was someone who saved everything. I mean that literally. She saved every application for every student that ever went to SWANI. And we have all of those applications going back to the early 60s. All analog, all in folders with photos and addresses. I mean, it's an incredible thing. First of all, you go through that and you see all of these folks that have had tremendous careers in music, famous musicians that have come through SWANI. But we're going to go back now and reach out to those folks and reach out to the people that came to study at SWANI and try to find out where they are and what they're doing. What I can tell you is that people that study music and people that live their lives in the arts, regardless of how they end up manifesting their art, are successful, creative, thoughtful, imaginative people. And so I'm really excited to learn more about the folks that have come through SWANI and find out what they're doing now, both with their music and the rest of their life. I'm a music festival alumni myself, so, and many of our faculty are, so we have that little part of our life as well.
Indeed. Another thing that came to mind is just when we're talking about the type of music that these students are focused on, orchestra, chamber music, this is an ongoing dialogue, as you're aware, in the arts, of how much do you lean on, for lack of a better word, the canon, right, versus how much you lean forward into how the culture has changed and is changing. How do you feel that's playing out in terms of this festival or where this festival is headed in years to come?
Well, it's a great question, and it's a big debate's not the right word, a big conversation that we're having amongst our faculty and our guests, artists in our community, about what really is our role. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we are responsible for making sure that when a student shows up, let's say a student passes through SWANI as part of their career and they learn a certain amount of repertoire, orchestral repertoire, chamber music repertoire, then they go on to university program, other summer programs, whatever it is, they're going to maybe end up in an orchestra and they're going to play a piece that they first learned how to play at SWANI. I take that responsibility of that student knowing the piece when they walk out on stage for their orchestra, they walk out on stage in their chamber group, that if their first experience with a Beethoven quartet or a Tchaikovsky symphony was at SWANI, that they know that piece. You know, and this is a conversation that we have with our faculty and our conductors that are here, that for the most of our students, we're taking them through this repertoire for the very first time. So the canon for us is important, but we don't live in a bubble, right? So how much new repertoire, I mean, for me as a percussionist, I only play new music. So I live in that world, and I want our students to live in that world. But if I also had to learn all the Haydn quartets and the Beethoven quartets and the, you know, all of that repertoire that exists for other instrumentalists, there would be a bigger tension. So I'm not really answering your question. Let me see if I can now.
That's fine. I'll keep going.
But I think that what we're trying to do this year is, on our faculty artist series concerts and on our student orchestra concerts, to make sure that we are paying attention to music of our time and composers of our time. We are really leaning into our composition program this summer. We're doing student composer readings. We're doing a student composer concert. We're actually forming a composer's ensemble that our student composers can write for this summer. And I think we're going to lean more into that going forward, because I think it's important that the students that come through our festival, first of all, they have a unique experience, right? Because they have so many places to choose from, right? So many places a student can go study music in the summers, that we want their experience to be more than just the canon. So the canon is valuable, important, necessary. But how does that connect with their culture now? How does that connect to the music that's being written now? Can we bring in artists? Can we bring in guest conductors? Can we bring in folks that are doing some things that are a little bit different, a little bit off, like the string quartet we have coming this summer? Public quartet is very much at the forefront of doing different things in classical music, improvisation, tremendous educational outreach program. I mean, they did a whole improv thing with one of the presidential debates on, I think they were on Colbert, and they like live improvised on top of a Trump-Clinton debate. Which, you know, it's like, I would have never thought of that. And they're doing that kind of work. So bringing people like that to our students, putting them in front of our students, and also our faculty who are, you know, at the forefront of their professions. So it's a debate. It's an ongoing debate and discussion with that. But I think we'll continue to infuse the everyday life of our students at the festival with modern music and with connecting the music that they play to the world that they're living in now.
And how can people follow the festival while it's going on?
Well, they can certainly come join us for performances. We have 34, something like 34, I don't even know, more than that, performances during the festival, which starts on June 15th and runs until July 14th. So you could join us in the summer. You could purchase tickets online on our website, which is ssmf.swanee.edu. You could also just look us up, SWANI Summer Music Festival. We're going to be streaming our performances on our Facebook page, so you could watch our student orchestra concerts and other performances live from our Facebook page. So check us out on social media. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We do a lot of social media. I'm really proud of that. We're leaning into that as well. The best thing you could do is come up to SWANI and see it. And it's so hard to explain what we do there. But once you see it, you know what we're doing. We have videos and all this stuff, which are incredible. But come up, check out a concert, see what these young musicians are doing. There's a lot to be worried about in our world these days. And I think coming and seeing what these young musicians do, what these young people do, and they're from all over the world. right? So these young musicians from all over the world, from all over the U.S., from every economic background, every family situation, they come together, they play music. If you don't leave the mountain inspired, then there's no hope for you, right? we've lost you. So come join us anytime.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, John.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
John Kilkenny, Artistic Director of the Suwannee Summer Music Festival, which begins Saturday and runs through July 14th. And now from last year's festival, a performance by Yander Muñoz Calderon, one of the winners of the concerto competition.